Cyberspin, topics you care about by people you trust. This is Cyberspin, the podcast that helps you navigate CMMC. And now for the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cyberspin podcast. Hey, today we're going to talk about CMMC and Azure Cloud misconceptions. We'll explore some of the most common misconceptions that we address for our prospects, and we thought it'd be great to cover them on this podcast so you can learn from that. We all know CMMC requires an evaluation of the contractor's technical security controls, documentation, policies, procedures to ensure the security and resiliency of CUI data. And the baseline for meeting these technical controls and security responsibility alters and is different among the different Azure Cloud offerings. And that's where the confusion comes into place. So we're going to explore those. And I'm Kim Singletary. I'm the Vice President of Solution Marketing. And I'm joined today with
Jeremy Maris here. I'm our VP of Federal Accounts and all things CMMC.
Howdy, everybody. I'm John Fitch. I'm the Azure Architect Expert with over 30 years of DevOps and security experience.
Perfect. So I've got a couple questions queued up, and I think we'll start slow and build up. So the first one is, will Azure Commercial 365 provide what's needed for CMMC for defense vendors?
From the technical control access standpoint, Azure Commercial doesn't provide at its baseline the encryption and auditing standards they need for CMMC compliance. There is an ability or a method to make almost 98% of it compliant in commercial, but to get your SPRSS score up and pass the audit with flying colors, GCC and GCC High is required for some of the encryption and audit standards.
Yeah, and to John's point, Azure Commercial, if you even look at Microsoft's website and the very nifty table that they've put together, Azure Commercial checks the box for NIST 800-1 71, but Microsoft is very clear that it does not check the box for CMMC, and there is a difference between the two. Just checking the box on the 110 practices of 171, commercial can do. But when you start getting into the appendices within 171 and the expectations for CMMC that go a bit beyond just the simple controls, that's where you see that differentiation and GCC and GCC High are necessary.
That's a great segue. So, I think we've stated that commercial, not a viable solution for Department of Defense vendors. And Microsoft itself is saying, hey, you can use GCC or GCC High. So with that, could maybe Fitch give a quick overview of what's the difference between GCC and GCC High?
Sure. The control difference are essentially the same for the platform and the auditing. Really what comes into play is the device interface and the requirements that the government agencies have authorized to use. So you'll have things like DFARS. DFARS is authorized GCC and GCC High with the DoD. However, FBI agencies have not authorized GCC High, but they've gone through the process to authorize GCC. There are a few keywords to knowing whether you're in GCC or GCC High. And GCC High, whenever you're dealing with ITAR data, you're almost immediately put into the GCC High category. If you're dealing with DIB or DIPCAT cards, you're probably going to be in GCC High. So really, it comes down to who you're interacting with as a contractor, what departments, and what type of access resources or tools you needed. Jeremy, you have anything to add to that?
I think you really nailed it with the keywords. So for everyone out there who's a defense contractor and worried about CMMC, keep in mind there's two types of CUI data out there. There's the basic CUI, and then there's the specific CUI. And the specific CUI usually has those keywords that John mentioned, and especially ITAR and EAR. When I'm having conversations with contractors every day, one of the early questions I ask in the conversation is, do you handle ITAR data? Because that brings into scope, additional security controls from 800-172. And that's where we have the differentiation between the need for either GCC or okay, ITAR is involved. Now we need GCC High.
So I think it's really interesting that we're talking about like the keywords and the type of CUI data, but I want to drill down a little bit more. And this is, I think there's still some interesting nuances, and especially with a lot of these vendors and organizations working from home. So the traditional, like, you know, corporate network isn't necessarily in place that is assumed here. So, you know, we all know that the communication and email of CUI data requires some FIPS encryption. And, you know, where does GCC High and GCC provide this type of control? And I think the bigger question, do they need another solution to help manage the email and storage of the CUI repositories, you know, they need for their contracts?
That's a big slice. That's two big slices. So the difference in the GCC going to GCC High really comes down to the location of who is accessing that CUI data and the location of the data itself. So GCC basically puts a framework of this is a commercial worldwide access cloud. The data, even though it's a US user, US authorized, may be accessed from a European country, etc., as long as they're authenticated. And the data lives in commercial storage and could be in worldwide regions. GCC High ensures that the data is in FedRAMP compliant facilities, that the data is only accessible inside US regions, and that it controls more of the requirements of where the data lives and who accesses it. I'm going to leave the communication aspect or the how to securely access and communicate with the data to Jeremy, because he's dealt a lot with not only Microsoft platforms, but a lot of the competitors out there.
Yeah. So, you know, from the perspective of FIPS encryption and GCC and GCC High, the FIPS 140-2 validated encryption that's necessary for CMMC is built into both GCC and GCC High clouds. So email transmission of CUI data can be done in a secure format with the FIPS encryption. The file storage within either of those clouds is going to be encrypted with the necessary FIPS encryption. You know, the question of do you need an additional tool for encryption? If you're in a GCC or a GCC High cloud, any additional encryption tools become redundant. There are certain corner cases where we've seen folks have a GCC cloud and then leverage an additional encryption tool specifically for ITAR data. But in the vast majority of cases, that is not necessary. For most defense contractors out there, just being in a GCC or GCC High cloud will solve the issue.
That brings up a great side point, Jeremy. Yeah. We've had a lot of customers ask us if some of the competitor platforms are easier to use versus, you know, Azure, Microsoft, or Office 365 for meeting that compliance standard or controlling the data, the CUI data, et cetera. And really what it comes down to is the competitive platforms in Microsoft Office 365 are offering convenience, ease of use. You can still meet all of the technical controls and audits in 365. It just takes the proper setup, the proper encryption, things like BitLocker, etc., setting up the proper controls and audits and filters to make sure your data doesn't wander where you don't want it to wander. And that's where the competitors have created, you know, a product to control those things, but they can be controlled, and our managed services sets up best practices to help you achieve that.
Yeah, and I think that's a good segue into either, you know, an additional aspect of this that Kim touched on earlier in the question, which was remote networks. Post-COVID, many organizations are still entirely remote. When you're leveraging some of these encryption tools, they do a phenomenal job at what they're intended for, which is meeting those FIPS 140-2 validated encryption requirements. In most cases, they are not a virtual desktop infrastructure or VDI. They do not take the endpoints of the users out of scope. So they satisfy a very specific control set within CMMC, but they are not a overall comprehensive solution for taking remote users out of scope. That is one of the significant advantages that GCC and GCC High have if you're leveraging that Azure Virtual Desktop, or AVD, as it's commonly referred to, is it is a virtual desktop infrastructure. It does allow for a virtual machine to hold the CUI data while it's being, you know, manipulated by the user so that it never truly lives on the user's endpoint, which keeps that endpoint out of scope. When you're using some of the other tools that are very much encryption focused, and not VDI, those endpoints still are in scope. And essentially now you're trying to tackle all of those remaining IT and IT security controls within CMMC and 171 on those endpoints. And technically the remote user like myself, you know, I work out of a home office. Technically my home office would be in scope. And then all the physical security controls come into play and such. So does that kind of give you what you were looking for there, Kim?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's great. I mean, it goes beyond some of the questions. When you look at a long-term solution, you know, I think some of these solutions that are out there, we're all new. We're all trying to get to the certification. But long-term, in terms of managing this and looking at the scope and looking at your options for other contracts or extending your contracts, this is going to be really critical. And Jeremy, you said something to me, and we've talked about another podcast. And you know, even though you could do something else, I'm kind of seeing that the kind of the faster and best way to move forward is GCC High with an AVD solution, which obviously we can help you with. But one of those aspects is for subcontractors, the prime at any point in time, and just clarify, Jeremy, can ask for an evaluation of what you're doing right now towards CMMC. So it's definitely, you know, something, Jeremy, I would, you know, if you could comment on that and how this type of solution, you know, going forward will just put you in a better trajectory over time to get the controls, the shared responsibilities, and the absolute CUI protection that you're going to need.
That's a phenomenal touch point that I discuss quite a bit, actually on a daily basis with folks. So I know that there is a lot of information floating around out there about, you know, DoD published timelines and phased approaches and, you know, the final finish line in a lot of graphics that are floating around out there being early 2027 for CMMC to be 100% completely fully online. And I've had a lot of conversations where it's confused folks and it's given folks a misrepresented sense that they have a couple more years to work on this. I think what everyone needs to keep in mind is if you operate in a subcontractor capacity, the prime contractors have the ability to require CMMC certification in their flow down contracts at any time once the rulemaking completes. Now, if everything stays on target and we see rulemaking completing later this year, it could very easily be Q4 of this year that as a subcontractor, you could be required to demonstrate that you have a CMMC level 2 certification to maintain or be awarded a new contract. Additionally, I can't even put a number on how many conversations I've had where subcontractors have said that they've received security requirement questionnaires or requirements from their primes, where you know, the language has gotten quite creative from a legalese standpoint. You know, I think my favorite so far is the requirement for a moderate assurance statement from a third party C3PAO to the 800-171 compliance of the contractor using the CMMC framework as a model. That's about as close as you could possibly come to requiring a CMMC cert without officially saying a CMMC cert. So the primes are already pushing on their subcontractor trees. The expectation is that the primes are very likely going to require CMMC certs very early on once rulemaking completes. So please, please, please don't think that you have until 2027 or even 2026. You know, tail end of this year, early start of 2025, you are very likely to receive that type of requirement in a contract if you are in a subcontractor capacity.
Thank you, Jeremy. That clarified, I think, quite a bit about there are a lot of options out there for sure, but making sure you have an efficient and a way to move forward very quickly. I hope that this podcast gave you some answers that we continually bump into. And if you have any questions about this, definitely feel free to contact us and let us know. And we'd be happy to meet with you or just respond to your concerns moving forward. With that being said, I really hope you enjoyed this podcast. And thank you, everyone, for joining today. And we look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks for having us, Kim.
Thanks, Kim.